Now we will turn our attention to another guest talking about more on the GOP convention and other issues facing the state of Wisconsin. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss joins us to share his thoughts on the party's convention and how Republicans are gearing up for the November elections and whether his party will be able to rally around the presumptive presidential nominee, Donald Trump. What do you think? What questions do you have for him? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Robin Voss is a Republican state representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Let's start with this weekend's GOP convention. What was your takeaway from the past 3 days?
Well, I'm excited that so many people turned out to our convention. It was well over 1,000 people from all across the state. And the nice thing for me, as somebody who has worked in politics for most of my life as a volunteer and as an elected official, I sensed a lot of enthusiasm for making sure that we have a good turnout this fall, that we have strong candidates to run, and that ultimately we take what I think in Wisconsin is a record of accomplishment and take it to the voters so we're given a chance to continue to lead Wisconsin in the right direction.
Well, Sean Johnson, who covered the convention, said that most speakers did not mention Donald Trump by name. A couple did. What do you make of that? Why are many Republicans avoiding saying the name Donald Trump?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it from the perspective of state elections. I mean, I'm a state elected official. I spoke at the convention, as Sean mentioned, and my focus was really pretty simple, that Wisconsin Republicans have done good things to get our economy moving, invest in our priorities, reduce taxes, all at the same time with making sure we stick to our conservative principles. So I know members of Congress who deal with federal issues, of course, talked about the presidential race with Donald Trump as the presumptive nominee. He's not the nominee yet. And I think that's why people focused on their area that they think is the most important. And many of us know that in Wisconsin, we have not traditionally been able to carry the state for Republicans. So we look a lot at the down-ballot races, especially those for the legislature, in my perspective. But we also look and say Ron Johnson is probably our number one race in the state, not because necessarily we don't like Donald Trump, but just because our job is to ensure that we carry Wisconsin Republicans across the finish line. And then hopefully that'll have a good effect on the top of the ticket, whoever the nominee is.
Yeah. Well, there was a little bit of a chuckle when Governor Walker, we played the excerpt from his speech when he said the Republican Party will indeed unify behind Ron Johnson. And still not. Will the Republican Party unify behind Donald Trump?
I think in the end, most voters are going to look and see it's a choice between two people. The one thing that as I have gone door to door and traveled around the state over the course of the past few months, especially, Republicans are united around the idea that Hillary Clinton cannot get into the White House and would be dangerous for freedom all around the world. So I think that Hillary Clinton is going to be a unifying force. One thing that the media hasn't spent much time on is the Democratic race and the divisiveness on their side. You probably didn't see it, but even in Nevada over the course of the weekend, they had their nominating convention where it broke into screams and shouts and lots of acrimony on their side. So I know people are obsessed with Donald Trump and what's happening on the Republican Party, but pretty much the same situation is happening on the Democratic side, just to much less of a media degree.
Yeah, and we'll do more on that, too. But where do you, as a former Marco Rubio supporter, stand on Trump?
I am waiting for him to do a better job of articulating a conservative vision that everybody can rally around. As you mentioned, I was a state chair for Marco Rubio. I've been involved in presidential campaigns since I was in high school. So I certainly know the kind of candidate that I like, and it's somebody who offers a positive, economic, and culturally conservative platform that really brings people aboard. It rallies people to their cause. And it's not the job of Republicans to just salute and say, whatever you believe, I'm going to become a robot and agree with everything that you say because you're a presumptive nominee. I'm a free trader. I think that trade, especially in a state like Wisconsin, brings thousands and thousands of jobs, good paying jobs, to families all across our state. I don't want to erect a barrier to make it harder to sell our goods overseas. So there are some things I agree with Donald Trump on. There are others that I have questions about. But like Speaker Ryan, I think a lot of elected officials that I know want Donald Trump to rally people around his positive vision. And I think that will happen eventually. I just I'm just waiting for a little bit more.
Yeah. How concerned are you that Donald Trump at the top of the ticket will hurt Republicans down ballot running for state assembly?
Well, as you played the clip from Sean Duffy, in much of Wisconsin where our races are the most competitive, Donald Trump has done well and his message really resonates. So I think if anything, it'll be neutral. It could potentially be a positive in the areas that are the most economically challenged, represented by Republicans and incumbents. So I think it's way too early to tell. I think we'll have a better idea once we get to Labor Day and we actually see the contrast between the two candidates, because as I've said, nobody's talking about Hillary Clinton's record of Benghazi or the email scandal or the fact that she believes that every American should pay more in taxes through one means or another, which will, of course, cripple our economy, and a foreign policy that will certainly cause negative consequences on our economy. So I think once people see the contrast, we'll have a better idea.
Yeah, and certainly the Republican Party has seen plenty of success in recent years at the state legislative level and have maintained a solid control of the governor's office, the state Senate, the state assembly. What's the strategy to maintain those majorities going forward?
Well, we've actually had a pretty successful strategy for most of the past 20 years, actually more than that. Republicans have had control of the assembly since 1994 with only a two-year break, and that's because we have a record of accomplishment. If you're a Republican, you can look at just the last 2 years and say we have right to work, prevailing wage, statewide school choice. We also had an opportunity to focus on issues that appeal to folks, regardless of your political party, which is more money in public education, over $200 million more for our public schools. We put more money into the university than the governor proposed. We made sure that we actually dealt with issues that are really heart-wrenching to a lot of families. I had a task force on Alzheimer's and dementia. We passed a lot of bipartisan legislation in that area. And Wisconsin is truly leading the nation when it comes to dealing with heroin and opiate abuse due to the efforts of my colleague John Nygren from Marinette. So I think if you look and say, you know, I might see some dysfunction in Washington, they're getting nothing done. The exact opposite is here. Over 90% of the bills that we passed were bipartisan. So I think we have a record of accomplishment of focusing on our principles, focusing on our economy, but most importantly, making things happen in a way that brings everybody together in our capital.
Sean mentioned that when you brought up dismantling the Government Accountability Board, you got a rounding cheer for that, one of the biggest cheers you got from your speech doing that. What's your reaction to Mike Haas, from the old GAB, being named the new State Election Commission's first administrator?
Well, I think this is an example where my friends in the legislature on the Democratic side, and especially a lot of their liberal special interest allies, spent so much of their venom saying we were trying to rig the elections and we're trying to be partisan and, oh my goodness, the world's coming to an end, like they've pretty much said for the past 6 years, even though it's not true. Look, I trust the appointee that I put on the Elections Commission. They felt that Mike Haas was the best qualified candidate to ensure that we have a smooth, orderly transition. I'm not going to second-guess their decision, but I certainly want to make sure that we have elections that are done in a fair manner, and that's why having people, equal number of Republicans and Democrats, is hopefully going to guarantee that that happens. And the fact that the first administrator is a former candidate for the Assembly as a Democrat should say to people that we're not about partisan politics. We're about making sure that the process is fair.
It's time for news, and then we'll continue talking. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Robin Voss, who is the State Assembly Speaker, a Republican state representative from Rochester. We're talking with him about the GOP's party convention over the weekend, how Republicans are gearing up for the November elections, and talking about some of the issues facing the state of Wisconsin. And we are welcoming your questions and views at 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss? What do you think Republicans should do to come together before November? Do you think that the state Republican Party will unify behind Donald Trump or not? What state political issues are on your mind this week? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, we were just talking before news time about the new administrator, the new State Elections Commission's first administrator, named last week, Mike Haas of the old Government Accountability Board. And you were saying that that's okay with you, Speaker Voss, even though Mike Haas ran formally as for the State Assembly as a Democrat. You had been very critical of Kevin Kennedy in the past. I'm looking at a story from 2014 which quotes you as saying, Kevin Kennedy has to go. He needs to be gone. He's an embarrassment. And Kevin Kennedy did indeed announce that he will retire this summer. Can you react to Kennedy's departure and what you hope now from these from the new State Elections Commission going forward?
Well, here's what I can say. I will say if I were on the commission, I probably would have done an open search to try to find the very best person possible, like they're doing with the State Ethics Commission. But as I mentioned before the break, I'm not going to second-guess my appointees. I think that they wanted to have a smooth transition. And once again, it does demonstrate that the board is acting in a bipartisan manner. What Kevin Kennedy's problem was, he acted as the king with a bunch of rubber stamps from the judges who were on that GAB expressing that they were supposedly nonpartisan, but as you can tell from almost every decision that they made at Kevin's direction, really acting in a partisan nature, including the witch hunt where they went after free speech and literally other decisions that I won't get into all the way down the decision line that really seemed to have shown a bias. And that's why having a board that's equally divided with Republicans and Democrats will hopefully be a much better solution than the one that we went through for the past almost decade.
Well, the state's Government Accountability Board was asking the legislature for $250,000 for a campaign to educate voters about the photo ID law. And you you said that you were open to the idea. You would like to review the request. What will you be reviewing?
I actually took a look. I mean, I might disagree with some of the specifics of how they chose to spend the money, but I have urged the members of the Joint Finance Committee to approve the request. I think that, once again, just like we've done with the GAB, the left has done such a disingenuous job of portraying the reasons behind our efforts. I would think that everybody listening wants to guarantee that people have the right to vote and only do it once, in a way that doesn't disenfranchise those people who are illegally voting, which is why having voter ID, as we saw in the spring election, resulted in almost no problems. I think there were only a little over 300 provisional ballots out of several million cast. So once again, the left has such a corner on hyperbole, but they certainly don't have anything close to the facts on their side. So I have no problem with spending the $250,000 to ensure that people know what it takes to get an ID, because in the end, it's about preventing fraud and ensuring that we have a fair election, not like the other side has said with kind of nefarious reasons that they assume is why we put the bill through.
No, well, we did a show last week, and a number of our own listeners and our state lawmaker that we spoke with said, you know what, voter IDs, what's there to educate people on? It's show your license. It would be a waste of money to spend $250,000 on some sort of voter ID awareness campaign.
Yeah, there are people who feel that way, and I guess I want to make sure that as the leader of the legislature, that we do everything we can in a positive way to say that voter ID is not anything close to what the Democrats have portrayed it as. It's just a way to guarantee that we have fair elections. Many people, as I said, only about 300 plus that had a provisional ballot, so I think it's a definite non-issue as far as problems, but I'm also okay with trying to spend money to ensure that people remember to bring an ID, especially for some who are registering for the first time. I would prefer that they had an ID and that they register beforehand, which is why the legislature, unfortunately, with no support from Democrats, enacted an online voter registration system so that we are able to see everybody across the state registering before we go to the polls and not having to do it on the day of. And hopefully that'll be another part of the education effort, which is to register online and don't think about long lines when you go to vote on Election Day.
Well, also wanted to get your take on a couple of other state issues that are currently in the news, including your reaction to a handful of University of Wisconsin campuses casting votes of no confidence in UW system leaders, the Board of Regents, and UW system president Ray Cross. What do you make of this?
Yeah, it's such a disappointment. I'm sure it's incredibly, popular at the cocktail circuit on the faculty lounge. You know, a lot of people who are what I would say out of touch with where Wisconsinites really are. The very basic idea of giving someone a job for life plays very well on the college campus, but it's not the reality that any Wisconsin family lives with. So I certainly protect academic freedom. I served on the Board of Regents, so I understand the importance of having people go after things that are even politically or socially unpopular. I understand that. But the idea of saying that we're copying the other 49 states' tenure protections and having it be a policy in the Board of Regents as opposed to a policy that was in state statute, and somehow that is ending the academic world as they know it, just reminds Wisconsinites how out of touch that these faculty members truly are. And it's disappointing because I'm one of the people who led to put more money into the budget for the university system than where Governor Walker originally proposed it. And it makes my job harder when I continue to have to battle people who seem out of touch and not necessarily connected at all with the plight of Wisconsinites as they try to reduce the tax burden and yet still have good quality public services.
So could the UW take another hit in the next budget cycle over this?
I certainly hope not. You know, as I've said, my goal for the next budget is to see no decrease. I'd prefer an increase, but I think even if we began to look at what the legislature did, as Ray Cross has said, they started out the process with a $351 million cut, and because of actions of Governor Walker and the legislature, that cut was reduced down to $200 million, which in my opinion is $200 million more than I would have preferred. But I also look and say that's a pretty darn good record of trying to make the cuts as nimble as we can so that they have flexibilities to go along with it, just like we did for school districts. So I think that the more that they whine and complain about things that are very minor and also to the average citizen seem really out of touch, the harder it's going to be for advocates like me to convince other legislators to put money back in or to actually give an increase.
Well, we have some callers who have other issues they'd like to ask you about. Alice in Sheboygan is one of our callers. Hi, Alice.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask, my biggest concern in our state is our water. And I have not been very happy with some of the past bills that have been recently passed in this session. I think that our water is something we really need to guard. I think the whole world is looking at the Great Lakes, and our water, our aquifers are down because of the high capacity well permits that we've been giving out willy-nilly, from the sand miners to the potato farmers, and these Uber farms. I have many parents that work at these large farms that I work with at school, the children, and they are not receiving benefits.
What would you like Speaker Voss to address, Alice?
I'd like him to address the thought of putting more controls on high-capacity well permits, and I noticed that our Attorney General now wants to take away this from the DNR, and the DNR has been stripped.
Yeah, he did, Brad Schimmel, Attorney General Brad Schimmel did issue an opinion last week that could limit how much the DNR regulates high-capacity wells. Any thoughts on this, Speaker Voss?
Well, first of all, the reason for his Attorney General's opinion was at our request to just make sure that we define the appropriate role of what the legislature does and what the executive branch is allowed to do. If there is no statutory authority, which means there's never been a bill passed giving the authority to the Department of Natural Resources, it means that the authority still rests with the legislature to make that decision. And that's where we saw overzealous bureaucrats, I will say, sometimes for the right reasons, sometimes for political reasons, trying to create additional roadblocks for businesses that wanted to fix the existing well that they actually had. So if you have a high-capacity well, you have a business, you have a farm, and you depend on that water to be able to irrigate your crops or run your product, you certainly want to be able to get an easy process to repair the well and make sure that it can go forward. So there are a lot of areas that we as a legislature need to fix. The Assembly passed the bill last time. One of the provisions of the bill, right now under current law, you have the ability to self-report how much water you are taking out of the ground. Well, I certainly think that if you're going to do a repair, you should put in a meter so that we know exactly how much water is coming out of the ground. That was in the bill that we proposed. So I think that there were aspects of the law that that Alice would have loved because it would have allowed for us to have better ideas of how much water is actually coming out of the ground. But I certainly think that there is no settled science that says that all of these high-capacity wells are actually part of the reason that we're seeing a decline in the aquifer. We have actually paid for studies, or we propose to pay for studies in the Central Sands, and talking about how do you recharge those aquifers so they can be sustainable over generations and generations. So that was another part of our bill. So I think there were a lot of parts of it that are being once again mischaracterized by the environmental left, who really have a political agenda and aren't as worried about the environmental agenda, which we tried to do in a positive way. The bill didn't get through the Senate, which means we need to come back and pick it up next time.
Okay. We have just a minute to go. Any other issues on your radar for the coming months?
Well, we obviously are out of session, so the legislature is focused on taking our record to the voters. I'm proud of where we are. I think that the one thing that I have heard from my colleagues all across the state is, while people might complain about Hillary and Bernie and even Donald Trump, they certainly are happy with the direction that Wisconsin is going in, by and large. Lower taxes, frozen property taxes, freeze on tuition, more money for public schools. We save senior care and badger care, whole lot of things that I think we are really proud of and that you'll hear about over the course of the next 6 months on the campaign trail.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Robin Voss, Republican State Representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. Thanks to Chris Molina, Brianne Shasso, and Nyasia Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We're going to talk about access to the University of Wisconsin-Madison coming up next. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.